Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Nehemiah, please. Nehemiah, great job, young people, listening well as we follow old little Christian and little Faithful traveling along together now. So many things to learn from them, even in our life's journey. And I hope it does encourage you as we read it together. I know it has been to me. And continue that story on. Nehemiah chapter 6, if you would, join me there. Going to look at another verse as a springboard tonight. So we looked at the first five lessons that we have learned from the life of Nehemiah. There's so many we could look at. But tonight, notice chapter 6. We know Nehemiah said, I'm not coming down. He says, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. I'm not going to stop. And we're learning how important it is to stay faithful, stay focused, even when it hurts, even when we fail. Get up and stay at it. Don't let anybody talk you into coming down off the wall. Well, as they continued to persevere and as the enemy continued to pursue and discourage, let's pick up down in verse 8. As they continued to ask, let us counsel together in verse 8, then I sent unto him saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, for thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Okay. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hand shall be weakened from the work, and it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now that there is a great prayer, my friends. Strengthen my hands. Strengthen my life. As the enemy tries to intimidate and make us afraid, may the Lord help us even tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we look at these lessons from Nehemiah, that hearts would be encouraged. So much, Lord, that I want to say, but I realize that, Lord, I can't. It's just, I want your Spirit to speak. So, Father, upon us tonight, every person present, may we, as we close the book of Nehemiah and our study through this chapter, I pray that we'll never stop studying it and applying it to our lives. But Lord, please bless us as we seek to have this same spirit that Nehemiah and the people that followed him, may we have their spirit in seeing the work done, the great work done here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nehemiah, we noticed here, God honors our faithfulness in little things. We looked at availability to the plan of God as the gateway to the call of God, just being available. Fervent prayer is vital to discern the will of God. We saw that seeing the brokenness of this world will move us either to contention or compassion in how the Lord looked upon this broken world. And number five, we looked at there are more important things in life than making money. And Nehemiah's goal was not to make money. It was to do the work God called him to do. And if he got paid in the process, and I'm sure he did, that was just an add-on. But it wasn't his reason. We do what we do for the glory of God. And we're going to pick up with the sixth lesson. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Faith trumps fear every single time. Faith trumps fear every time. It overcomes fear every time. Fear is a killer. It'll hurt you badly. It'll hinder you greatly from doing what the Lord wants you to do. I know you and I both experienced that emotion. And the devil has all kinds of tools to instigate that emotion. He has all kinds of weapons. And he used it constantly on Nehemiah. But we see here, he even though he experienced the emotion of fear, he said, "Oh God, I'm not giving in. Strengthen my hands. Help us to stay faithful to what you've called us to do." Remember that verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And get this, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith is the victory. It truly is. And, you know, fear, you know, I was challenged by an evangelist that came through our church. I believe it was 2017. And I was dealing with a lot of fear in my life at that time. It seems to come in waves. I'm sure you can agree in your own life how it comes in seasons. But he said, "Brinson, you got to decide as a person, as a man of God, are you going to be a man of fear or are you going to be a man of faith?" He said, "You got to determine that now. And you'll renew that as you go along life's journey." But that is something that anytime the devil comes and starts tempting you and overwhelming you with the spirit of fear, you have to make a decision. "No, I've made a decision. I'm going to be a man of faith. I'm going to take God at His word. And I'm not going to cower to the enemy's attacks to get me to live in an anxious spirit." And it's helped me. It's not a cure-all, just a statement. It's not going to cure anybody, but it's a truth that when we submit to it, it works, because by the Bible works. The Bible, God's word, is truth. Faith is very important in Nehemiah's life as he was working with the people there to rebuild the wall against the attacks of the enemy. He constantly just had to take God at His word. maybe He was reminding him something like this: "Lord, You called me. You called me to this place. You put me here. You have me where I am now. I'm going to trust You." And I'm sure there were times like, "Lord, things don't look good right now. This is tough, Lord. But Lord, You called me here. There's no doubt about it how You have led all of the way. And Lord, if You've led me this far, God, I'm going to choose to believe that You have led me this far not to leave me alone." And that's a lesson that we all need to draw from. Let's be people of faith and not people of fear. Let's not be controlled by the enemy who gets us to try to live in a constant state of anxiety. D.L. Moody said this: "God makes a promise, faith believes it, hope anticipates it, and patience quietly awaits it." Again, God makes a promise, faith believes it, hope anticipates it, and patience quietly awaits it. That was Nehemiah's life. That was the people there. And it will. It will overcome fear every time. Number 7 here: great things happen to those who work hard and work together. Nehemiah was a hard worker. He had a mind to work. There were times where they would work shifts, work through the night. There were times that they had a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other. They were laying bricks. They were laying bricks. They were fighting enemies. They were working around the clock. There were times where they didn't even change their clothes. And they were just constantly going forward, making sacrifices, seeing what God was going to do. They were working hard. And they knew that there was a task, a calling to do. And dear friends, we got to determine to be people that are going to work hard. We're just going to work hard, even when we're tired. I'm going to be very transparent with you. I'm tired tonight. And I'm just going to be even more transparent with you. I was ready to go home after the Oaks today. I can be transparent, right? But I knew, no, I can sleep when I get home tonight. My body just wants to go and just plop down but no, there was a service tonight where we can gather around God's Word and encourage young people and see young people serve the Lord with the music talents and us for all join our hearts together, and then we can fellowship with them before we break out of here tonight for a week where we know we're all going to be facing temptation. We're all going to be facing obstacles. And boy, I tell you, it's worth it being here. There are times we get tired, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm being honest with you that there's a lot of times that's when it really matters, when we're tired and we go forward anyway. I was talking to Jimmy. Jimmy had to work some crazy hours this weekend, and he's feeling it. I'm sure you are. But I appreciate you saying, now there's a work to do. There's a work for God to do in my heart. The Word of God is being taught and preached. I need it. I want to grow in grace, and I'm going to move forward. And I'm going to let God use this in my life. Colossians 1:29, Paul says, whereunto I also labor, striving together, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. That word striving, we understand he uses in Philippians 2. It is talking about struggling. The Christian life many times is a struggle. It is something that we can even sometimes find ourselves flat on our face. It'd be a struggle. But I'm thankful, as I said, quoted this morning, God is there to take us by the hand and continue with us. Someone asked former President Teddy Roosevelt. That's, he had his admirers and his haters. I guess that goes for all the presidents in the past, right? You had those that were respected, those that were loved. But someone that admired him said, Mr. Roosevelt, you are a great man. And he responded, no, Teddy Roosevelt is simply a plain, ordinary man who is highly motivated. There's some truth to that. We all are plain ordinary people, but what motivates us in life? What causes our gears to turn in this life? What is it? Are we motivated by the glory of God and the will of God? Are we motivated by people who are in need? I tell you, those things will help us work hard. And not only will it help us to work hard, but Nehemiah, we learn from here, they work together. They work together. That's one of the things that's, I love, you know, I shouldn't say that. I don't love it, but I find it very interesting to teach my children to work together. Now, I say I don't love it. What I mean by is I don't love what I usually have to go through, okay? They're learning, though. Just like your children are learning. We're learning to work together. And I've seen, not here recently, but there are times when I have said, all right, this is what we expect. You do this and this and you do that job. And there are even sometimes where we say, look, we're not going to tell you exactly what to do. Y'all figure it out. Work together. And it's always interesting how that ends up. Sometimes it's the, hey, well, I didn't do anything because I didn't know what they were going to do. And I didn't know what that was going to do. And that one said something to me and made me mad. And I'm not doing that. And, you know, it kind of goes on. You know how it is. We all were there as young people. I'm not just picking on mine. I was there. But one of the things that we understand in God's work is that, hey, we're getting together. We are complementing one another. We are dwelling together in unity. That is our goal, so that we can see God's work be built. That's why Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he says that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I believe great things are going to happen to those of us that will just simply work hard and work together. Now, does that mean that you shouldn't give yourself a break, some rest throughout the week? No, you need that. Make sure you're getting rest. Make sure you're getting good sleep. But I'm telling you, when we're serving the Lord, let's just expect some wearisomeness. Let's expect tiredness. Let's expect some fatigue. But even when we feel bad, let's just be able to say in our hearts, Lord, You are worth it. You're worth coming when I'm tired, God. Your glory is worth it. The people are worth it. Lord, I do want to do this because I want to serve You. And that's Nehemiah's spirit. He said, we're going to move forward, folks. And there were some that got burnt out. You remember Judah, the tribe of Judah? They got burnt out. Judah, they got disgruntled. And it just happens to be the tribe of praise. And we discussed that at that time. But Nehemiah just pastored them through that and encouraged them through that. And they came around to where they did indeed participate, and it worked out. Praise the Lord. Let's be people that just continue to work hard and that we work together. Number eight, compromise must be confronted. Compromise must be confronted. Nehemiah over and over had to, at times, get the people's focus back on track. It just gotten off track. And as God's people, we get off track. And so we have to be reminded that we can't make compromises, because it's going to be one compromise and then another compromise and then another compromise and another compromise. And what you started off just making a little compromise, you end up way over here after you've traveled a while. It's just a gradual going off course. And I used to get chewed out on the bridge. When you'd be off course, you wouldn't think it was that bad. Of course, you're going with the swells there in the bridge, and you're turning the helm. And, you know, as non-rates, we were helmsmen. You had lookouts and helmsmen, and we would take turns. You know, we're at the bottom of the totem pole. You got the quartermaster up there, got the charts, and then you got the officer on deck. He's telling you the course, and you're saying, all right, maintain your course of 030 for there in the magnetic compass. And so the magnetic compass is constantly moving, and you're just with that helm, you're constantly studying it. Your eyes are on it, especially at night. The whole bridge is just red. And, you know, you got to keep your night vision, and you're constantly, even with the waves, trying to keep that course, where if you didn't pay attention and you were constantly just a little bit off and you couldn't correct it right, well, after 30 minutes or maybe even say 15, 20, the officer deck would look back and look at what his course would be and look what the quartermaster had gone, and he'd say, Jennings, what are you doing? Who's steering this ship? So just a little bit, start off just a degree or two, didn't seem like a big deal. But those other degrees, after a period of time, they start adding up, and you end up way off course. And he'd say, all right, well, we're going to have to correct. Jennings, you better stay on course this time. Sir, yes, sir. And then thankfully, it was my turn to go up to the lookout so the other guy could get chewed out. Because we switched out every hour for 4 hours. But my point is that we have to confront the compromise in our own hearts. And then we sometimes have to confront each other. No one enjoys that. If you enjoy it, you have problems. Because it's not something we should strive to do, but it is something we are ready and willing to do when necessary. Compromise. Paul had to do it to Peter. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. And, you know, some people, you know, use that thing, don't judge me. You confront me, that's judging me. Well, it's biblical when it's done in the right spirit. Paul basically said, Peter, you are causing confusion. You know good and well the dream you had. You know God made all things well to eat. You bless it. You can have that. And he was using that also he used that ultimately to show that he could come together with the Gentiles and that they could be together. He knew better. But he got distracted and he started making exceptions. And then before you know it, it looks like there was some division there, that he was excluding some of the Gentiles. he would maybe spend a little time with them, but then he was with his Jewish brethren, and it was causing some division. And it wasn't even just Peter. Can you believe it? It was also Barnabas. Barnabas, the encourager, the son of consolation, he also got in on the compromise. And Paul just said, look, guys, this is not right. And we need to be open to one another to be able to say to each other, hey, that's not right. You need to take warning. And so I believe that Nehemiah did that over and over. And he always did it with the right goal of mind. He didn't do it with a holier-than-thou attitude. No, he's like, no, we got to keep on focus. The enemy's always trying to get us to compromise. Fellas, listen, I'm just trying to tell you, we got to stay focused. Let's do that. I want to do that. If I get off course, I just pray God will help me. Send somebody my way, Lord, to show me I've gotten off course. Please correct me, Lord, whatever I need to do. Do you have that attitude tonight? Do each of us tonight have the attitude that, Lord, correct me if I'm getting off course? That'll help you and me tremendously. Lord, just correct me if I need to be. I don't want to get off course. God will honor you for that, and he will. Not only that, but we see not only is compromise confronted, but number nine, we see that affliction and opposition are a part of God's plan. Nehemiah figured out very quickly, even going from the Persian king there, finding this city and just a bunch of rubbish. It was devastated. And from that point, even going forward, there was much affliction and opposition. You know, that's a part of God's plan. I'm learning, I'm learning that in the Christian life, that if I'm trying to find this level of utopia or whatever, where I can reach a level of Christianity where I don't have any more troubles, good luck. It's just not going to happen on this side. Now, praise God, when we get to heaven, that's when it's going to happen. But Jesus says, while you're in the world, you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And what the message is, was Nehemiah's heart, and I want our hearts to be, is let's not get bitter and bent out of shape and just really disgruntled people every time we go through a hard time or a trial. You know, when those things take place, let's say, God, this is a part of your plan. And though he may not have caused it, he allowed it. Johnny Erickson Tada, I've been thinking about this quote recently, and I shared it before, but she, quadriplegic from an accident, a diving accident, paralyzed, but God has used her greatly. She just turned 75 years old, by the way. It's a miracle. I guess from what I understand, they don't live 10 to 20 years after an accident of that nature. She's just turned 75, and Johnny and Friends is a phenomenal ministry. But she made this quote, God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. There are things that God allows into our life that are just bad situations, but he's doing it for a greater purpose. He has allowed it to accomplish what he loves. The fact of the matter is, the greatest example of that is, of course, the fact that he allowed, and not only allowed, but he sent his only begotten Son to take on the sin of humanity. He hates that sin. But he put it upon his Son so that he could accomplish what he loves, and that's being back in communion with you and me. God wants communion with us. That's amazing. But it's coming, it's happening. Thankfully, thank you, Lord. Thank you. That it does come in intervals. that there are waves of it. There are days where it's whew, and sometimes weeks. And if you go for a week, it's like, oh Lord, there might be one coming right around the corner, but not a spirit of fear. But the fact of the matter is, it does come and go. But we just say, Lord, when it does come, I'm gonna just believe you. I'm gonna trust you, because obviously when you allow something, you are working in my life. And though Nehemiah had plenty of times where he was thinking, this seems to be like God's working against us. Lord, you called me here to build a wall, but this thing is not going well at times. But he just kept going. Give me another brick. Grab another brick. Put up another brick. Just do the next thing. Let's keep moving forward. Yes, we got opposition right now, but let's just do the next thing. And God honored that. Someone said, the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. The psalmist said in 119:71, he says, it is good that I have been afflicted, that I may not depart from your commandments. It has a way of keeping us sober-minded. I think of also the church in Acts. You remember in Jerusalem when the disciples wouldn't get out of town? Remember when they wouldn't go and spread the gospel like they were supposed to? So what did God allow? Persecution. And that was to accomplish what He loves, the gospel getting to a lost world. So God was allowing those things, and we see that through the book of Acts very clearly. I read this quote, and I thought it was very appropriate. Affliction is a bitter pill, which being and wrapped up in patience and quiet submission may be easily swallowed, or more easily swallowed. But discontent chews the pill and so embitters the soul. So when we go through those things, and like I mentioned, we just get resentful. It's like chewing up a pill, a big one, without anything to drink and trying to swallow it. But let's wrap it with some endurance and patience and quiet submission to what God has in store for us, and we'll see the walls built in our life, and it'll be beautiful. Number 10, in closing, not only do we see that compromise must be confronted and affliction, see affliction and opposition as a part of God's plan. Lastly, God's plan may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. I did this with the deacons the other night, and I'm going to do it with you. I want you to take a moment right now, just a couple moments. Please do this with me, just a little exercise here. I want you to think of a situation in your life that, for all practical purposes, you have lost hope. A relational situation, a personal struggle, whatever the case may be. I just want you to think of it. Just think of it for a moment. Maybe there's a couple. Again, it's something that you just have lost hope. You had dreams of doing it. You have ambitions to do it, but you just have failed at it so many times, or you just have not seen the change, and you just are to your wit's end. Basically, you've given up. I just don't know if that's just going to happen. Think of those things just for a moment. And then I want you to think about the truth that God taught Abraham and Sarah when He visited them, promising them a seed, a child, in their old age. Sarah laughed inside. She didn't laugh outwardly. She laughed inwardly. God heard it. God hears your heart right now. He said, why Sarah laugh? Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Sarah laughed. And He made this comment, God did. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Too hard and for the Lord don't belong
together. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. And I want to close with this. If there's one thing that I'm drawing from Nehemiah, it's that he came to the place in his life where he believed to his core that nothing was too hard for God. To his very being. Did he fluctuate on that at times? I'm sure he's human. But he just decided, hey, God can do it. God can do it. I want to ask you something tonight. Are you believing the Lord for the impossible? Because if you're going to see the walls, the miraculous walls in the life that God's wanting to build in your life, you're going to have to, and I'm going to have to believe God for the impossibles. I know when I was initially challenged on this, I thought of some people in my mind immediately. And I'm just wondering, God, is there any way possible? It doesn't seem like it. But I immediately reminded, no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. So that's where we say, God, I'm just going to take you at your word. I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know when you're going to do this. But Lord, what I need to have wisdom on how to proceed while I'm waiting on you. And He will give you wisdom, and He will give me wisdom, because everybody's situation is different. But we all can believe that God can do it, because nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Word of God tonight. And help us all, Lord, to trust you with our everything, with our families, Lord, our finances, our health, our future, our church, our ministries, our troubles, our obstacles, that which seems impossible. Oh God, tonight we want to renew our trust in you. So be honored as we think upon these truths that you've taught us through Nehemiah. I pray we would all make personal application, and I pray that we would be better because of it. More mature in Christ, being used of Thee. I pray in the coming week You'll help us to be faithful in the small things, the daily task, the daily walk with You, Lord. Help us to just be faithful in that which is least. And Lord, we are going to just trust You to do it. Oh God, You're so good. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the great work You're doing. Would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed?